Senator Johnson, can we get you on the COVID cover-up? So why do you think legacy media such as CNN is not covering this?
Why aren't you covering this?
I want to ask you about Iran, the war in Iran.
Yeah, you really ought to cover the fact that Peter Marks knew on March 1st of 2021 that their algorithms were hiding safety signals. On 26 days later, found out 25 serious adverse events like sudden cardiac death, pulmonary infarction, Bell's palsy, different types of strokes, and they buried it. They hid it. It's a major scandal. It's even as big a scandal that the major media is completely ignoring the story. It's been out now for almost 6 weeks.
Before the COVID pandemic, Dr. Fauci, as head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, provided millions in U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund dangerous gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, work which is now widely viewed as the source of the unintentional lab leak that sparked the pandemic.
What they thought was going to happen during Biden and Kamala, that they would take out a lot of my generation and older, clear the deck. Turned out the bioweapon wasn't fully tunable. And guess what happened?
We took out the wrong demographic.
They took you out. Before COVID begins in 2019, we get this guy from Harvard University arrested at the airport, caught with 21 vials of nanobat technology. His name's Charles Lieber. Two guys from China who worked in Wuhan gets arrested with him. They take the 21 vials away. He's the expert in wideband technology. That was what they were going to use to tune the bioweapon to take us out. They had to redeploy and put that stuff in Ukraine because they had to protect China from stealing this technology. Who wasn't ready? Pfizer. So what does Pfizer decide to do? They go downstairs three floors to their genetic department and they find SV40. They use SV40 to design their jab because they're late to the game. And what do they then do? They tell their scientists to use a molecular tool to take the evidence of SV40 out, and then they present a clean version to the FDA and they get approved.
CDC awarded Pfizer $735 million plus dollars for infant COVID shots, paying them, and the government tried to say it was mandatory when it wasn't, to then poison babies with it. This is the pure evil, the kind of stuff they've been trying to suppress the public from knowing. Then they also paid the federal government over $2 billion to major pharmacies. Most of it went to CVS and Walgreens to not prescribe ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, even though the elites were all taking it, and it was proven to be very effective.
How many thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands of people are permanently disabled or possibly lost their life because our FDA hid the fact that there were safety signals screaming at them with the COVID injection?
I gotta tell you, Maha should be in an outrage. This was a massive issue on the campaign. It's still a massive issue. Many parents do not want their children to ever receive a COVID vaccine shot. Why? Kids don't need it.
Good job, MTG. Now, here I am in 2009, 10, and 11, exposing UN documents, WF planning, Operation Lockstep, CIA, John Hopkins. People ask how to know about lockdown, 6 feet apart, masking. They admitted it was about training you to be a slave, to be locked in your house. Once cell phones got up to a point they could track and control you, which they had way before COVID, they were going to implement this as the new slave control grid. That's how I knew.
Rockefeller study envisions future dictatorship controlled by elite, millions being killed, mandatory quarantines, checkpoints, the end of the family, everything that's in the other documents. But this dovetails with all the other Rockefeller Foundation documents about the GMO food to sterilize you and the forced vaccines and the hell we're already living in. That's just going to continue to intensify until we take our governments back from these eugenics madmen. These people are so arrogant that they write policy papers, so many of them, that they're producing these policy papers and reports and white papers so fast that you could never read them all. It is an open conspiracy against you and your family. The only chance we've got of beating this scientific dictatorship, this creeping death that takes its time to incrementally enslave you, mentally, psychologically, physically, spiritually, the only way to defeat it is for the rank and file of this planet to realize that you have a choice to make on what your destiny is going to be. Once you face this information, once you've consciously admitted it to yourself, it will take over your life. It should take over your life.
Let me announce the kickoff of the summer sale. This is going to run for 2 weeks, and different items for only 3 days will be buy one, get one free. Right now, it's Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best methylene blue. You've heard about methylene blue. Ours is medical grade. Buy one, get one free. Another big deal on tri-iodine, the best, cleanest iodine. Take action now. The start of summer sale kickoff is now live. And look at this. Nice black hat, high quality, with a nice leather patch, made in the USA, just classy. And that's from Dickie. Really proud of that. And look at this bad boy. I designed this bad boy, the concept. 1776 Redneck Deluxe. I mean, that is good stuff with the two crossed musket rifles. That is a good-looking, good old boy right there. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. Get it all now at thealexjonesstore.com and stick your finger right in New World Order's all CNI and say, screw you, globalists. We're keeping Alex Jones on the air.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday afternoon. Hope you're all doing well. Hope everybody had a good Father's Day. It was quite a weekend. Quite a weekend worth of news. I have more videos than is responsible at all. But like half of them are from the Jewish News Syndicate, the JNS meeting that happened over the weekend, where a bunch of people said a bunch of crazy things. I'd like to go to some of those videos, including people like Mark Levin and Benjamin Netanyahu and many others. Of course, the Iranian MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding, the lead up ostensibly to a peace deal or a ceasefire of some sort is just...
You think with your little podcast...
Oh, no. Mark Levin is here.
You think with your little podcast you're going to be able to stop Israel? We're not going to let you run your country. Why don't you shut your mouth, traitor? Trump's not going to bully us either.
Is this what it's like to be Trump?
You see the size of my brooch? I wear a woman's brooch.
Do you see the meme I sent you, by the way?
No.
Of Mark Levin and all the different nationalities. He's there, and it's the big German flag, and he's got the big France flag in every setting. He's going, we must support Israel. Absolutely.
Really,
it's the costume.
That?
Well, it's just a meme of him. You know, if he was in any other country, he'd be saying exactly the same thing. Folks, I was just invaded by Mark Levin. I just got a little taste of what it's like to be Donald Trump getting
you
yelled at.
Your mouth, Buster.
I'm just trying to get peace, sir.
Don't say Israel runs anything or you're a Nazi, because we're in control and we'll get your ass fired.
That's right. I'll get Kanye Wested. How dare I say they would do such a thing? They'll do it to prove me how wrong I am. Yeah, we're going to talk about Mark Levin
actually,
for sure.
The neo-Zionist movement is as alive as this.
To be or not to be?
That is the question.
Put it right on top. That's kind of cool, actually.
I'm Mark Levin. We're the up-and-comers. We're the boomers. Endless war
that's
and
right.
Cancer. Look at my brain. It's big. COVID.
This is the Israel First GOP. Yeah, it's alive and well.
We are the future.
It's a pretty detailed
Don't argue
thing.
With me, racist. Why do you love Hitler? We need to take all of Lebanon, burn it all to the ground, kill everyone.
Can I be on Fox News now?
That's pretty cool, actually. A skull cap yarmulke. No more sacred cows. We love everybody, but we're not going to be bullied around until we're Hitler anymore. This is the backlash to it. Sorry, I got to mark them in here. That's a death threat, you know. No, it's not. It's a joke. It's a metaphor that your political movement is as alive as a skull, pal. That's the meaning of it.
Pretty much.
We don't want no Mark Levins were hurt in the filming of this.
The crazy thing is they could so easily get back on track.
Who do you think you are, that little podcast, huh? I'm out of here.
This is what it's like, folks. This is what it's like. He's right there. Mark
and
Levin.
You on TV. Let me tell you something, you Americans. Shut your mouths and do what I tell you. You know what's good for you.
That's it, our representative of the Israel First GOP. Yeah, right there. Not long for this world. This is kind of creepy.
Oh, think so? Oh, you know it's fake. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Wow. That was Mark Levin. Mark Levin is here.
Oh, sure.
I don't work for Israel. What a ridiculous thing, Mark Levin working for Israel. That video, too, and I saw Alex play it earlier today, when he's literally got Donald Trump in a headlock. That video alone, who have you ever seen treat Donald Trump that way and get away with it, let alone even just try to treat somebody like that? I can see the crew working on working on the meme here. I just watched the crew whip that up in about 15 seconds, folks. And when we say we have the best crew in the business, it's this type of stuff. They're too small. The pins are too small, frankly. How are we supposed to know that he's a patriot? They need to be bigger. They need to be bigger than his face. Bigger. And you know, it's funny. I think it was at the JNS last year that he made that speech where he said, "You think your little podcast is going to change the world? Think again, pal. Think again." Well, what an interesting year it's been. What an interesting year of going from, "You think your silly little podcast is going to change anything," to, "These podcasts are destroying us. Actually, these podcasts are winning the Eighth Front War, and we're going to have to move to more extreme measures to regain our dominance." It's not been a great year for the Israel Firsters. And yes, they did hold this Jewish News Syndicate. It's funny, we did a Moonbase Live episode yesterday. I brought up the Jewish News Syndicate. My co-host John, who wasn't familiar with the organization, didn't know what I was talking about, but didn't question it at all. Was like, "Oh, we're talking about the Jewish News Syndicate?" And I said, "Yeah, it's this organization." He was like, "Oh, wait, it's an actual thing. I thought that was just sort of common parlance. I thought you were talking about CNN and CNBC. Mark Levin blasts Trump administration over Israel. Stop smashing, trashing, smearing, bullying ally. And look, what is the appetite for abusing Mark Levin? Because I would like to go through that video of Mark Levin, because it's one of these things, and certain people are good at this. And to be honest, in a lot of cases, it's like it's a radio personality trait. And I just say this because I just have personal experience. And even when I was like in high school, literally, I'll tell you a funny story. When I was in high school and my dad was convinced I was becoming a communist or something, he would send me talk radio of like Michael Savage or Mark Levin. And I would take it as a challenge. And then I would want to go through and systematically debunk everything that the person said. And what I realized is that certain people like Mark Levin have a very, in some cases, admirable, certainly astonishing ability to say things to leave you with the feeling as if they've made a really good argument about something. But then if you go back and you actually parse it and you actually look at each sentence and what he's actually saying and the point he's actually make, there's no point there. If there is a point, it's contradicted by another point that's there. So I don't know. Is the crew sick? Is the audience sick of trashing Mark Levin? Because I could go through that line by line where he's talking about, he's like, "You're bullying Israel, this tiny little country. Never did nothing to no one." And you go through it and the whole thing, there is no argument. There is no evidence. I mean, there's nothing. It's just assertion after assertion after assertion. It's just basically the argument is him just saying, "Stop it. Stop it. You're bullying Israel. Stop it." And it's just like, no. I mean, what are you talking about? That's not an argument. It's not a reason. There's no moral imperative there. It's just a demand to shut up. Like, that's literally the entire argument. But you listen to it, and I can understand how people who aren't thinking critically and just sort of no filter, just letting the information come in, they might think that, wow, that was a really persuasive and powerful argument. There's no argument. There is no argument. They have abandoned argumentation. Now, they did that a long time ago, but it's been especially interesting because what it used to be was they abandoned argumentation by simply calling you a panican, calling you, claiming that you've betrayed Trump and that you're no longer MAGA and you are, in fact, AOC or something like that. That was before. Now, they're the ones that are against Trump. They can't really use that argument anymore. So the argument they're going with is, well, just shut up. Well, just shut up now, actually. That's the argument they're making. Which would be hilarious if the average American were capable of recognizing the blatant hypocrisy and contradictions that are constantly spilling out of these people. But again, you listen to the guy and it sounds like he's actually made a point. It sounds like he's actually said something of value, but he hasn't. It's just a trick. That's actually just a trick. But he's not the only one making statements that not just deserve to be, but I almost have an obligation to debunk and explain the reasoning behind it. So we're going to go to a lot of videos like that today, Netanyahu and others making statements at the Jewish News Syndicate that beggar belief and are truly astonishing in their brazenness, the chutzpah. But where are we now? But where is everything? Where do we stand? To be honest with you, I don't even know. I cannot make heads or tails of this. It seems like the longer we are in this conflict, the more insane and untrustworthy absolutely everybody becomes. And it does. There is a genuine phenomenon where everybody goes insane when Israel's involved. I don't even think I pulled it in, but there was a video. We're in the UN. The diplomats are literally yelling and cursing each other out. And it's because the Israeli diplomat was furious that the UN actually decided to, you know, punish Israel in a minor way for its deliberate and systemic use of sexual abuse as a weapon of war. And he was so outraged by this, he starts insulting the person who's saying it. And they have to try to sanction Israel for personal attacks amongst diplomats, which is totally illegal, or, you know, not allowed by the UN rules. And they're all just literally yelling. I mean, it's the UN, which, say what you want about the UN. The one thing that would actually, you know, benefit anybody is preserving some sense of decorum in that organization. At least putting across the illusion that this is a place where countries can come together. Despite our differences, we can all negotiate like adults. We can all talk about this like human beings with respect for one another. And then Israel gets involved and it becomes a giant shouting match. And that's just how this has been the entire time. And then when it comes to the negotiations, genuinely no idea. I have to actually check. First you have to check the date of when the thing was uploaded. Then you have to ask Grok, was this uploaded as soon as it happened? Because you have no way of knowing. And it could be, you know, 12 hours later and everything is completely different. And oh, it turns out you were using a statement from 12 hours ago that wasn't true in the first place, but now things have totally changed. So what I can tell you is J.D. Vance is currently in Switzerland. He's making statements about the Iranian agreement. But again, just to go through. So today is June 22nd. On June 20th, now one would think, news cycle, a story of this monumental importance, the gears, you know, working in the background, trying to get a substantial and long-lasting peace agreement on the table, you would think there'd be a little bit of calm, collected, thoughtful procedure through all of this, but no. Everything is changing extremely rapidly, and I can't tell you what's true and what's not. Because literally, I have statements from J.D. Vance, and, you know, you can talk about rumors, you can talk about innuendo, you can talk about, but typically what's coming from one of the chief executives, one of the two chief executives of the United States, you would think you'd be able to trust that. But then you've got statements from the Iranian prime minister that contradict what J.D. Vance said. So was J.D. Vance mistaken? Did I mishear him when he talked? I mean, it's all just completely wonky and insane. And guys, I'm not sure if it got renamed, but I had one. Because this is what I have to do. I have so many videos from J.D. Vance over the weekend, and I'm trying to put them in order. What I have is I labeled one video new. I said new J.D. Vance. This is the latest statement he made. So we'll work backwards. We'll start with what has just occurred, and then try to work backwards to figure out how we got here and whether this is going to be maintained or whatever. So let's go to clip 44 here. This is the latest, just minutes ago. This is J.D. Vance on his way to the plane. He's touting his successful trip in Switzerland to finalize the Iran deal. So this is the latest as of, let's see, can you scroll down? This is Nick Sortor posted it. Scroll down a little bit. I want to see when this was posted. Just want to make sure. I want to guarantee. What time? All right, 12:40 p.m. All right, so that was a couple hours ago. Things may be entirely different now, but as of around 1 p.m. today, this was the latest from Vice President J.D. Vance.
All right, guys, good to see you. Well, again, I feel great about the progress that we made over the last couple of days. We're looking forward to going back home. It's been a very long day. I know the reporters had a long day as well, so I appreciate you guys. But look, the fundamental thing we got is, number one, we set up the mechanism to ensure not only the Straits of Hormuz are open, but will stay open. We saw, we think, about 15 million barrels of oil come out. That's one of the reasons why oil is so low right now. Obviously, that means lower gas prices, and gas prices are going to keep coming down. Number two, we actually set up the right mechanism to ensure the regional ceasefire to manage the inevitable conflicts that will come up. We feel great about that. We're working with our allies from the Israelis to the Gulf Arabs to make sure that sticks, and we feel very, very good about where that is. We have the Iranians allowing weapons inspectors, nuclear inspectors into their country for the first time in a long time. We're obviously going to bolster those inspection regime to make sure they can never have a nuclear weapon. And finally, we continue to make progress on these technical negotiations. We left a lot of our team, the Iranians left a lot of their team at the resort there to keep on working at it. So all in all, a very productive 36 hours. We're going to have to keep working it. The last point that I'll make is, as I told you all this morning, this is laying a foundation for what could be a truly transformed Middle East. But we haven't built the house yet. We're going to have to keep on building, and that's what we'll do.
All right, so sounds pretty good there from Yahoo News. Progress, say mediators, after U.S.-Iran talks towards ending war. Iran and the United States agreed Monday to set up communication lines to keep the vital Strait of Hormuz open and end fighting in Lebanon, mediators said, after their first round of talks in Switzerland towards ending the war in the Middle East. The team led by U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance and Iran's Mohammed Bagher Ghalibaf opened talks Sunday as part of the two-month negotiation period set out under a preliminary deal agreed last week. Mediators Pakistan and Qatar said the negotiators reached agreement on a roadmap towards reaching a final deal within 60 days, with technical talks to continue for the rest of the week at the Swiss resort of Bürgenstock. Encouraging progress has been made, including the creation of a mechanism for further technical talks, they said, detailing a contact channel set up to avoid incidents and miscommunications at the Strait of Hormuz. A deconfliction cell between the two parties and the Lebanese authority has also been agreed upon to prevent fighting from erupting again. I like how they're just like inventing. I've never heard of any of this. I've never heard of a war having a memorandum of understanding prior to a peace settlement or a ceasefire. I've never heard of a deconfliction cell being necessary to manage, you know, one particular aspect of a war. It's like, why are we inventing new methods? We want peace. We want an agreement. We want peace. I guess these are the steps that we have to take to get there. And God only knows if this is actually going to end anytime soon. Again, we've been laying out the reality of the situation since the beginning. And the reality is that Israel went all in on this series of wars from Gaza, eventually leading to the overthrow of Iran. And they went all in on this. They have gambled everything for this. It has not paid off. It is, in fact, completely failed to achieve any of the goals that they set out at the beginning, up to and including eliminating the ballistic missiles or nuclear program there. It has been an utter failure. The economic effects will continue to roll in. And as we explained last week, the metaphor of the, you know, immovable object versus the unstoppable force being the ambition of Israel to create the Greater Israel Project and not allowing anything to get in the way of that, but the unstoppable force being the economic reality that exists that is unavoidable. It's not a matter of, you know, human policy. And I say that because you have to understand that when Donald Trump goes to Israel and says, hey, you got to stop bombing Lebanon in order to, you know, achieve this, you know, in order to basically not have the world descend into a feedback loop of economic downturns, one after the other, leading the whole world into chaos and eventually starvation. Like, I need your help. It's, you know, it's not like Trump just decided all of a sudden, I'm done with the war in Iran. We're going to close it down. And Israel sitting there like, well, what the hell, Trump? We are in this together. No, it's Trump going, look, I've been pushing this off as long as possible, but we are on the cusp of major feedback loop disaster. This is just the reality, and we have to contend with this, and this has gone on for as long as it can possibly go without entering into the feedback loop. And again, we covered this a month ago when Goldman Sachs put out their projection, and in that case, it was about the European jet fuel supply. And they basically said there's enough jet fuel to continue normal operations until mid-June. Starting in mid-June, the jet fuel supply, the constrictions of the strait have to be opened up, or else what's going to happen? The airlines aren't going to have the jet fuel that they need, so they're going to have to start canceling flights. They're going to have to start, you know, laying people off or furloughing people. They're going to go bankrupt unless they get a big saving package from the government. So, like, once that process starts, once they have to start canceling flights, and once they start losing money, and now you've got to have, I mean, it's inevitable. It's not something Trump chose. It's just reality. It's just what's happening. It's just the economic material that we're working with. And yet still, Israel will give no ground. Still, they will not just go comply with Trump going, look, it's not up to me. The world economy goes down unless we find a way to solve this. And they can't give him that. They can't give him that. So, again, I think that's important to understand into how we got here and how we get out of this. Is that Israel is not responding this negatively. You see Mark Levin and all these others criticizing Trump. Trump's support in Israel has cratered utterly. It's gone from like 99% approval to negative 20 approval in about 3 weeks. It's completely unwarranted. And we went over this a lot last week, so we don't need to, you know, reiterate it, but it is the same thing happening over and over and over and over and over again. And as Trump just desperately tries to get them to deal with anything realistically, they simply refuse to. Let's go now to clip number 52 here. This is Trump warning about the economic disaster that, of course, has been readily apparent since before we even went into the war. So why did we do it in the first place, sir? That's the question. Clip 52 now. Let's watch.
Alternative would be a worldwide depression. You know, the stupid people want to have a worldwide depression, and they're stupid people. So you can only go so far. You drive somebody into the ground and a lot of bad things happen. Number one, the strait would never open because they don't like floating billion-dollar ships up and down a strait when there are rockets flying over them and mines all over the place. So the strait would never be open.
Yeah, so there he is. He's just like, it would be a worldwide depression. This is just the reality of the situation. We've pushed this back as far as we can. I mean, he said it there. And of course, the memorandum of understanding, the number one, the first line item in the agreement is the territorial integrity of Lebanon. In response to this, Bibi Netanyahu has, of course, immediately after this happened, he bombed 150 sites in Lebanon, was bragging about it. Again, just flagrantly in the face of Donald Trump. Oh, you don't want us to do this? Guess what? We're going to do even more, even though we don't have to, even though there's no strategic value to. It's a signal. It's a signal letting everybody know they don't give a damn what's best for America or the world, for that matter. They're going to do it anyway. And he's made other statements furthering this promise. I'll show you on the other side. I actually translated it myself because he doesn't tend to deliver these types of messages in English. He delivers them in Hebrew. We're figuring out what he says. Stay tuned. It's War Room Live. Follow us on X at AJN Live. Follow at Real Alex Jones. I'm at Harrison H. Smith.
Here's three big announcements right now. We have the 250th birthday limited edition run of awesome designs for this July 4th, 2026 coming up. And they're now available to ship to you as of today, Monday, June 15th, 2026. And they'll be available only through July. They're limited edition, and then that's it. And they fundraise for the broadcast. But I got to say, I'm very impressed with the designs that Bigley came up with. I was heavily involved in this, in the concepts, like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition, with the rattlesnake and the AR-15, Liberty or Death, 1776 to 2026. That is a really nice shirt. I designed this one. Very simple. America 250 years strong. And these are just very clean, Americana, high-quality fabric. Very comfortable. Destroying Tyranny since 1776. I did that concept. These are very, very clean. I'm proud of these. I think these are shirts everybody would want to wear. I would certainly want to wear these. America, ride fast, live free. Just a classic Betsy Ross flag. 1776 free. They came up with that. I think that's pretty cool. Defund the deep state. That's pretty cool. I like that really clean one right there. 1776, 250 years of freedom. They designed that. Very clean, very nice. So you want nice, clean, patriotic apparel that, you know, won't get you stabbed by a liberal, but other patriots will know who you are. You can kind of promote liberty and kind of identify who you are. It's fun to wear these shirts, I can tell you that right now. You kind of choose your own adventure. You wear an Alex Jones shirt, then you really got to meet a lot of cool people, but you also might get a bottle smashed over your head. Hundreds and hundreds of great designs from the Gulf of America to you name it. That's a good-looking shirt right there at thealexjonesstore.com. New America's 250th birthday, limited edition, July 4th. Apparel now available. And right now, introductory, they're 30% off all apparel on the site, not just the America 250th birthday limited editions. It's only available for a month and a half. These designs are limited edition, thealexjonesstore.com. And we only sell you stuff that really empowers you because we want you to love it and be impressed with it. So we have a relationship with you. And so the only way you miss out is not getting our T3, our bovine colostrum, our ultramethylene red, our Shilajit, our CMOS. They're all amazing. But if you do anything, methylene blue and the water filtration system, when you take this out of the box, I've never seen, I went and checked. It's the highest stainless steel there is. And it turned out it wasn't that much more. I mean, it was somewhat more, another 30% more to have this. But I mean, it's just standalone. Nobody's got anything even close to this. I congratulations, Bigley. I am very impressed. Very, very impressed. I know a winner when I see it. And this sexy beast is going to help so many people cut out all the garbage out of their water, one of the biggest things you can do to take control of your life. And it's going to fund this operation. So I am literally in love with this. It looks like Marilyn Monroe to me right now. I forget the term when you're attracted to, like, sports cars and objects. I've never been sexually attracted to, like, a sports car, though I thought they're cool. Never been sexually attracted to... I'm actually being a little sarcastic, but I'm not. I'm actually physically attracted to this right now, okay? This is... because I know it's going to help people. I'm being silly. Actually, kind of not. What sexy is it's great. I know a home run when I see it, and I know this is just another big victory. So thank you so much for all you and your support, and Bigley knocking it out of the park.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. According to a joint statement from Pakistan and Qatar, the two principal mediators during this round of U.S.-Iran talks in Lucerne, Switzerland, the current round of negotiations has now ended. Per the release, both sides have committed to the formation of a high-level committee that will coordinate working groups focused on nuclear, sanctions, and a monitoring and dispute resolution group to ensure the effective implementation of the MOU and on other matters. Additionally, a deconfliction group will be formed to coordinate the cessation of hostilities between Israel and Lebanese Hezbollah, a key point of contention between Iran, the U.S., and Israel. So those negotiations continue. Donald Trump has come out on Truth Social and said this: everyone is fully aware that Iran will agree to have major weapons inspections in order to ensure nuclear honesty long into the future. President Donald J. Trump. Again, another sticking point here. And the question is, you know, is this going to be a better nuclear deal than the JCPOA that Barack Obama signed that could have been achieved without, you know, the war, without the war that we fought and frankly, kind of lost in a lot of ways. So again, you've got President Trump trying to get Israel to simply moderate its attacks on Lebanon. Just, hey, can you not bomb civilian apartment buildings for the next couple hours? And of course, that was met with indignation, outrage, and fury. And they decided to kill even more Lebanese people for even less of a reason. Again, we're not going to spend the whole show on this. And we talked about it a lot yesterday as well. Obviously, this is the big news, but there's a lot of other news to get into. So fear not. You know, I do see comments on the chat. It's just like, oh, still talking about Israel. Well, yes. Yes, we are still talking about Israel because we're still talking about the Iran war, the biggest story in the world for the last several years. And yes, Israel is the key component, both starting the war, continuing the war, stopping us from getting out of the war, trying to throw the whole world into economic depression for the sake of their war. Yeah, it's Israel. And yes, we're going to keep talking about it, but not for the whole show. So fear not. Let's go now to clip number 11. This is Bibi Netanyahu in response to the request that he might suspend, or not even suspend, but just, you know, minimize actions in Lebanon. Here's his response. I did this translation by AI. Let's watch.
My instructions and those of the Minister of Defense to the IDF are clear and have not changed. Our fighters in southern Lebanon have full freedom of action to thwart any direct and emerging threat to them or to the residents of the north. The IDF has no restrictions in this regard. I stand behind them, the entire nation stands behind them, and I stand firm that we will remain in the security zone in southern Lebanon for as long as necessary to protect the residents of the north and all its citizens.
And of course, other members of the Israeli government have gone even further. We can go to clip number 30 here. This is Israeli Minister Ben-Gvir talking about what should be done to Lebanon. Again, at least at the beginning of this conflict, and even up till now, you just heard it there a little bit, we have to stop the threats to our homeland. They don't even really couch it in that language anymore. It's actually kind of just full-fledged, we are going to conquer this place type language. It's very brazen. I mean, they really are feeling themselves. Well, what's the phrase? What's the phrase the kids do? They're really, you know, feeling very confident in all of this. Here's Israeli Minister Ben-Gvir. He says, see here, I do not accept this restriction that exists on certain areas in the state of Lebanon. Lebanon, all of Lebanon should be our playground. All of Lebanon should be our goal. And I say to myself, wait a minute, but there's Lebanon and there's Hezbollah. I don't accept the artificial approach. Lebanon has a country. There is a name of the Lebanese government. Hezbollah members are ministers on behalf of Hezbollah. They have a revolving door policy. Yeah, because they're citizens, because it's not a state army. It's a citizen militia, and those citizens are, in fact, allowed to participate in the Lebanese government, something that confuses Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East. He's mogging. The crew just told me the kids would say he's attempting to mog us. Aura mogging is what the kids say. Can we bring up his image? Yeah, there's no aura mogging coming from Ben-Gvir. There's sort of a miasma that follows him around. There's like a poisonous gas that exudes from him. That's not aura, though. That's something else entirely. That's some sort of poisonous gas. And guys, I didn't find the video until just before the show, and I don't even know if I'm going to cover it. At first I saw it and I just rolled my eyes and ignored it. Then I saw it posted over and over. Yuri Geller, who's, you know, a famous fraud psychic guy. He's on Israeli TV, Channel 14, and he's making the claim that Donald Trump is being electromagnetically controlled by Iran using an electromagnetic device. It's very strange, but these are the types of stretches they're going for, the reaches they're making to try to explain why Trump is not slavishly following their every directive anymore. They're like, it must be secret Iranian mind control devices. Okay, maybe. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Good point. You know, who knows? Who's to say? Your guess is as good as mine. Let's go now to clip number 39. This is Lindsey Graham, who needs no introduction. Again, just not knowing what time it is or where the world is going at this point. Here's Lady Graham this weekend talking about what should be done with Iran. Let's watch.
Here's what I think will happen next. If this deal fails, President Trump is going to take the Strait of Hormuz over by force. The United States will control the Strait of Hormuz. We'll charge a fee for all those who go through to pay for the operation. And we're going to expand the Abraham Accords in calendar year 2026. We're going to get Saudi Arabia to join the Abraham Accords, and which is the biggest change in 5,000 years in the Mideast. And if Iran contests control of the Strait of Hormuz by the United States, we will obliterate them. So to all the people listening, if this diplomatic effort fails, President Trump is going to take the Strait of Hormuz. Yep. We're going to run it. We're going to try to get Saudi Arabia to join the Abraham Accords to end the Arab-Israeli conflict in 2026. And if Iran continues to attack Israel and Lebanon, the new policy will be we'll hit Iran. So to the Iranians, if you're listening, when you use Hezbollah to attack Israel, I think the new policy will be we will attack Iran.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, Lindsay. I mean, just literally none of that is going to happen. I don't know where who you think you're tricking or if you're being tricked, but none of that is going to happen. None of that is going to happen. Let me just say that right out front here. No, that's just not, it's just not going to happen. I don't even have anything to add to that. It's just like Lindsey Graham's fever dream. You can ignore it, I guess, except that he's got power and he apparently spent like 5 hours with President Trump trying to convince him of this. I can think of a lot better ways for Trump to spend 5 hours on any given day. This, of course, is making the likes of Mark Levin and other Israel First spokesmen apoplectic. They've basically gone insane. But this is where it gets like really weird and crazy and is evidence of a wider plan beyond just the Iran war. It's not only the fact that Netanyahu is clearly trying to sell himself in a weird way. Like, Israel politics revolve around America a lot. And it's like, who is the best manager who can maintain good relationships with America, but also they don't want to be seen as being controlled by America. So they have like kind of an interesting tightrope to try to walk. And I'm not sure if Netanyahu has the right strategy in all of this. I mean, you've got, as I read last week, former prime ministers of Israel basically being like, we've got to stop Netanyahu. He is going to destroy our entire country. Nobody has done this much damage to Israel, our enemies or friends. Nobody has put us on a worse path than Benjamin Netanyahu. We'll do the Yuri Geller clip in just a little bit. But let's go to Netanyahu. I guess let's go to clip 69 here. Let's go to clip 69, because where it gets weird is where you have the elite of Israel calling upon the Jewish diaspora essentially to betray their own countries for the sake of Israel. And this is not a good strategy to pursue. I'm going to let you know that right now. But let's go to Benjamin Netanyahu, where he sort of once again lays out the very, you know, particular mindset of Jewish Israelis as to their role in the world and the loyalty owed to them by everyone of their ethnic persuasion. Let's watch. This is 69. Let's go 69.
And let me tell you how anti-Semitism works down the ages. Ever since we lost our country and we became defenseless, we were defenseless not only against physical attack, but against the vilifications that often and always preceded them. So we were faced in one country with such vilifications, and that led eventually to either one of two things, either exile or massacre. And then we went to another country, and we faced exactly the same thing. After the vituperations and vilifications, that we're poisoning the wells, that we drink the blood of slain children, that we carry vermin. And by the way, these are the exact lies that continued right up to the Nazi Holocaust, exactly the lies. So we were faced with these vilifications, and then we were massacred, that we pushed to another country and another country, and the same thing happened over and over and over again. Well, here's where the change happened. It happened with the rise of the State of Israel and the creation of the Israeli army. We may not be able to stop the vilifications. They come and go in a predictable cycle, as my historian father told me. But the change is that when they come to slaughter us, we fight back. We don't let them do that. We fight back and we roll them back, exactly as we have done now in the last 3 years.
And then we'll go to this video here. This is clip 74. And again, you know, there is something distinctly ironic about him bringing up the specter of anti-Semitic claims from the Middle Ages about Jews poisoning wells, when I can literally show you video last week of Israelis poisoning Palestinian wells. I mean, it's one of the many tools they are happy to wield in their toolkit. It's a little ironic. It's a little bit ironic. He's like, these lies about poisoning wells. Meanwhile, the West Bank settlers are like, of course, we poison the wells. Like, we're trying to drink our water. We put poison in it. It's just a little ironic, I think. A little ironic. But, you know, his history stops a little bit short, doesn't it? He talks about, you know, Jews being vilified, kicked out of a country, going to a different country, being vilified, getting kicked out of that country. And then what? Because that process stopped for a pretty good long time when Jews especially were welcomed into America, where, sure, maybe 100 years ago, there was like very minimal, I wouldn't even call it oppression. It was just like certain law firms didn't hire Jews. Certain neighborhoods had clauses where Jews couldn't buy houses. Like, that was the level. But that hasn't existed for the last 75 years at least. So the question is, what's going to happen here in America? Is this cycle going to continue in America? Because Americans have existed this whole time. I mean, this is one country, maybe the only country in the history of the Jewish people that has not persecuted Jewish people, has never persecuted the Jews, never had that as a aspect of our DNA. And hell, most countries have kicked the Jews out multiple times. I mean, it's kind of a regular occurrence in almost every other country. And that includes England in the 1200s. And I mean, it's every country except for America. So why are the Israeli elite and why are the elite in the Jewish diaspora here in America so desperate to tell Jews here in America that the time is up, that this little vacation that the Jews have enjoyed from persecution is over, and now it's time to revert back to the cycle of expulsion, waywardness, settlement, expulsion, waywardness, settlement? Why? Why is that? Was it just all of a sudden? Was it just a dormant disease deep in the European DNA that simply took a while to manifest itself this time? Or is it the actions of the Jews in charge that are deliberately creating this circumstance? And I'm not speculating, and I'm asking a rhetorical question. The answer is it's because the elite Jews manufacture this situation, which really, yeah, it's not my overriding concern, but it is first and foremost targeted at the Jewish people themselves to convince them that they're unsafe anywhere and that they're the only hope they have is to abandon the country in which they've lived for generations, totally free from persecution, to abandon that and seek solace and protection from the elite Jews. I'll show you some videos in just a second. Now let's go to clip 74, where Benjamin Netanyahu himself makes this argument. Let's watch.
But I ask you, the Jews of America and the Jews of the diaspora, to do one thing. Stand up. Don't cower. Don't be afraid. Fight back. Because people will only respect us if we respect ourselves. And when they level lies at us, throw back the truth and do it standing up. Stand up for the truth. Stand up for Israel. Stand up for the Jewish people. Stand up for the Jewish future. Thank you all. Thank you.
So it's Benjamin Netanyahu closing out his speech by asking the Jews of America and the Jews of the diaspora to arise to defend Israel. In other words, sacrifice the generations of American loyalty that you and your family may have expressed and enjoyed, throw that away, throw that into the fire, sacrifice that on the altar of Israel. Give all of that up so Israel can take over Lebanon. That's the choice he's asking American Jews to make. Well, they're not even really asking Jews to make. They're going to create the conditions that force Jews to make that decision. And he's hoping that there's enough psychological programming already seeded into the Jewish population that they will be incapable of, you know, resisting his encouragement. And I think you understand what I mean by that. I mean, literally, they have a huge swath of the Jewish population trained to believe that if they don't show complete and total loyalty to people like Benjamin Netanyahu, then their whole family is going to be killed. I mean, that is what we're working with here. It's a lie, obviously, but it's a lie that could become true if people like Netanyahu get his way. So I want to show a little 2-minute clip from my documentary, The Eighth Front War, and it's at the very end. So this is probably the clip that is least, probably the chunk of the documentary that is least seen, since like every video, there, you know, is a fall off the longer you go in the video. Very rarely do people watch videos to the very end, especially when they're over 10 minutes long like this one. So I thought I'd cut out this portion in particular, because once again, these are billionaires. These are spokespeople. These are like important movers and shakers in the wider Jewish diaspora, including the head of the Tikva Fund that you'll see here, making the case that I just laid out, where he's saying this little vacation, this little, you know, oddity in the history of the Jewish people, it's over now. It's over now. You thought America was a great place where finally your people could be safe and free from persecution, where we have a system set up where people of every race, color, and creed can be heard, be protected by our government. That seemed like a nice situation. But that's over now, is what he's telling you, in no uncertain terms. And once again, I'll just say, this guy's lying to you. This guy's a scumbag. This guy does not have your best interests in mind. And what he's asking you to do is literally commit suicide for him and his people. All right, let's go to this clip. I just had it marked off, but I may have lost it. It's the Eighth Front War. Number 16, here is not the last 2 minutes, but 2 minutes towards the very end of that documentary. You can, of course, find it on my X account. It's pinned to the top at Harrison H. Smith. Please do send this around. Here's the last 2 minutes where you see a bunch of billionaires and community leaders from the Jewish diaspora here in America making the case to their fellow Jews here in America, it's time to abandon America. Let's go. Let's watch.
Beginning already in Q1, hedge funds get set up in Israel so we can become another capital of finance. I'll argue we will beat London within a short decade as a second capital of finance. It's going to be New York as a gateway to America, Hong Kong a gateway to China, Dubai a gateway to Southeast Asia, and Israel as a gateway to other parts of the world.
So we heard earlier about a mission, a goal to bring 1 million immigrants to Israel.
History has proven that when a country starts with allowing anti-Semitism, the results are not kind to that country.
I want to make a warning to somebody else, and that's American Gentiles. The minute your country is taken over by anti-Semitism, the minute you start to be a country that's not blessing Israel but cursing Israel, you have begun the process of shrinking and away from your empire.
And you can decide. You can stay here in New York in a declining empire, or you can come to Israel, which is part of the rising middle of the world, which is moving south and east. That's what I encourage you to do.
Our faith in the American project itself has been shaken. The only serious answer to this challenge is to believe again that being Jewish is the most important thing in the world.
When we're kicked out of America and America, you know, the whole thing is done, the whole American Jewish project is done, we're gonna be fine.
For decades, American society allowed Jews to live normal lives. This was a pleasant holiday from our destiny. The holiday is over.
The Western culture that stands against the Jews is going down. The West will survive only if it decides to love itself and if it decides to love us, the Jewish people.
The Jewish people are not normal. We never really were.
And now that Israel has turned the entire geopolitical situation on its head, our job in the diaspora is to leverage those wins and win here. Do to our enemies here what Israel did to its enemies there.
And then, of course, you see the hellish landscape of death as a result of what Israel did there, right? Not the most subtle threats, and not even really threats, just them telling us what they're doing, right? That billionaire saying, I think you should abandon the collapsing empire, America, for our rising empire in the Middle East. Like, that's a billionaire hedge fund manager who himself has withdrawn billions of dollars from the American economy and sent it to the Israeli economy. So it's not even like a threat. It's like he's just going, no, we're destroying the American empire. And as, you know, one of those characters in that compilation said, you know, he's like, well, when America collapses, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We'll be all right. It's like, okay, but you also seem to be the ones orchestrating the collapse. So this doesn't seem like a matter of, hey, we've got our, you know, escape pod here. Maybe the spaceship crashes, but we'll be okay because we'll eject. This is, we're crashing the spaceship, but we have a secret escape pod for ourselves. Nobody else on this ship will escape. Those idiots. That's more the idea I get from them. And again, I think these people are bad. I think these people are bad, and I think they're lying, and I think they feel as though they have a right and ability to orchestrate mass societal movements for their favor. And the number one weapon they utilize in this mission is the trauma-based mind control of the Jewish people to convince you that you are betraying 2,000 years of your ancestors by being loyal to America. I think that's a lie. I think that's a lie and a trick, and I don't think you should listen to them. In fact, I think it's entirely up to the Jewish diaspora itself, themselves, to vocally renounce this and argue against it. Otherwise, you're letting these people speak for you. And you probably shouldn't let these people speak for you. They're not on your side, no matter how much they protest. We'll continue into this on the other side. I do have some videos from the JNS I want to talk about. I'll show you the clip of Geller saying that Donald Trump is being mind controlled by Iran. But I do got to tell you, the alexjonesstore.com has an incredible sale just kicking off today. It's the start of summer sale, officially live at the alexjonesstore.com. For the next 2 weeks, we are rolling out a series of major new deals on our best products. Each deal is only going to be available for a limited time. The first sale is on right now. It's methylene blue tincture. You buy one of those, get one absolutely free. Buy the T3 trifecta iodine tincture and get a second one 50% off. These are massive discounts for some of our best-selling products. Still, you get buy one, get one free on the methylene blue. Buy one, get one at 50% off for the T3 iodine. Both of these sales end on Wednesday, the 24th of June at midnight. So you only have a couple days. Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit, like, these things just happen. Like, this is our new normal. That, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a Shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach in California? Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. This is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple, but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack, a massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the CMOS capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjones. JonesShowLive.com. Shilija Gummies.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.